You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba. Well, the votes are in, or most of them anyway, with some mailed-in ballots yet to be counted. And California voters have weighed in on state and local propositions, as well as many elected offices. So let's talk about the results. I'm joined by KALW Elections Coverage Coordinator Angela Johnston and our news director, Ben Trefney. Hey, guys.
Hi.
So, Angela, what is the main thing that caught your eye? What surprised you?
Well, I'm not sure if this should be a big surprise, but I thought there would be a much bigger turnout for the election in San Francisco, even though it's a primary. The mayor's seat was on the ballot, so I thought that would bring a lot of people to the polls. But according to the San Francisco Chronicle, the Department of Elections issued more than 320,000 mail-in ballots, and by Tuesday afternoon, fewer than 80,000 had been returned, and that's a lot lower than previous elections, even some primary elections.
Mm-hmm. And what about you, Ben? What was surprising to you?
Oh, I got to say, the way in which candidates strategized to play this ranked choice voting game, and when Jane Kim and Mark Leno teamed up in their campaign, It changed the entire election. You might have heard this ad.
I'm Jane Kim.
And I'm Mark Leno.
Mark and I are opponents.
But Jane and I agree. Let's stand together.
Vote for me and Mark Leno.
Vote for me and Jane Kim.
So that was a 30-second ad, and it might have proved to be the difference maker in this election. London Breed didn't have any allies the way that Jane Kim and Mark Leno came together, so she was on an island in this. And you might remember, this is the same ranked choice scenario that played out in Oakland back in 2010. That was the first year they used ranked choice voting, and Don Parada, a pretty big political name, was the front runner. He had about 35% of the votes after the first count, and Gene Kwan had about 24%. But they ran this anybody but Parada campaign, and pretty much everybody but Parada ran that campaign. And in the end, Kwan overcame Parada at the end and became mayor.
Okay, Angela, what about, let's go to the state level and representatives. Can you update us?
Yeah, so we can start with the big one, governor. Gavin Newsom, the current lieutenant governor and the former mayor of San Francisco, he secured the first spot. John Cox, a Republican, came in second. So both of them will head to the November ballot to face off. And this is good news for Newsom and Democrats because California is a blue state, and already analysts are saying that Newsom should, quote, coast to victory in November because California is just so blue.
Though there are a lot of months between now and then.
That's true. That's true. And for U.S. Senator, incumbent Dianne Feinstein came in first with almost 44% of the vote, followed by Kevin DeLeon with 11% of the vote. And there are more familiar names that also made it through in the U.S. House race for District 12. Nancy Pelosi won with over 68% of the vote.
Okay, Ben, let's come back to San Francisco. What happened in terms of elected office here?
Well, we've talked about the mayor's race a little bit, and as it stands, Mark Leno leads London Breed by just over 1,000 votes. Now, to be realistic, that's really tenuous. According to the Department of Election, about 44,000 voters dropped their ballots off at polling places on Election Day, even though they were mail-in ballots. Those 44,000 voters included me, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I do it. When you add in provisional ballots and other mail-ins, word is there's 90,000 ballots yet to be counted. So that makes Leno's lead of 1,000 just super thin. Mm. And the Department of Elections doesn't expect to process all these until Sunday. The other elected office races in San Francisco that really caught my attention were for Superior Court judge seats.
Mm-hmm.
There were four public defenders who challenged incumbents saying they wanted to shake up a biased system. There are too many people of color and too many impoverished people who are getting incarcerated. But after this vote that could have shaken things up, all four incumbents are going to keep their seats.
Okay, Angela, let's go outside of San Francisco. What else happened yesterday in the Bay Area in terms of the elections?
Well, I should note that San Jose residents were also voting for a mayor yesterday, and they reelected incumbent Sam Liccardo. He got 3/4 of the vote. In the Bay Area, in U.S. representative races, the Democratic candidate and usually the incumbent came out first.
Mm-hmm.
Santa Clara voters recalled Judge Aaron Persky. We actually reported on this a couple weeks ago, and it's a really interesting ballot measure. He had a nearly 15-year career on the bench, and he had sentenced a former Stanford swimmer convicted of sexual assault to 6 months in jail instead of a long prison term. So voters in Santa Clara County voted to oust him.
And that was the first California judge in about 80 years to be recalled.
Yeah. And in Alameda County, in the district attorney's race, Nancy O'Malley beat Pamela Price with 58% of the vote. And this race was among several district attorney contests throughout the country in which these reform-minded progressives like Price tried to unseat more moderate incumbents.
Right. Who, a lot of them had a lot of money. They had funding by George Soros, who made a PAC specifically to support them. Mm-hmm. All right, so Ben, let's go to state propositions. What passed? What didn't?
Well, all statewide propositions except one passed. So let's start with what's going to change. California voters approved Proposition 68. That's a measure allowing the state to borrow $4 billion for parks and conservation projects that proponents say will help ensure access to clean drinking water. That's a good argument. And voters approved three other state measures as well. That's Prop 69, which requires the state legislature to use money from a diesel tax and vehicle fee to fund transportation projects that already seem to be the case, but now it's extra the case. Mm. Prop 71 delays the effective start date for ballot measures by about 6 weeks. That's pretty much just protocol. And Prop 72 will give tax breaks to homeowners who install rain capture devices if and when it rains.
When it rains.
But Californians rejected a proposal to change how the state allocates revenue from its cap and trade program that's related to climate change. They don't want to require a two-thirds majority vote in the legislature to decide how program money is spent.
So it's staying simple majority?
Staying simple majority. If it had passed, it would have given more say to minority parties like the Republicans. But now it'll basically stay the same, still a simple majority vote.
Yeah, and something else that happened in the legislature yesterday, Hannah, is that voters down in Orange County recalled a Democratic senator after he had voted to raise gas taxes last year. And that one seat eliminates the supermajority Democrats had been holding in the state legislature. So there won't be as much Democratic rubber stamping going forward.
All right, now let's come back to San Francisco. San Francisco measures.
Well, here in San Francisco, voters really had a mess of measures to consider. I'll summarize a few. They decided to issue revenue bonds to improve clean power facilities and reduce usage of fossil fuels. Board and commission members are going to have to forfeit their seats when they're running for elective office. Here's one. Tobacco retailers will not be able to sell flavored tobacco products in San Francisco.
Despite, again, huge funding.
Really big campaign on that.
Right, by Big Tobacco.
And this is the first city in the country to do that, I believe.
And Angela, what about Bay Area Regional Measure 3? What happened with that?
So Regional Measure 3 is looking like it will pass. Almost all precincts are reporting 100% except for Santa Clara County. And that would raise most bridge tolls by $3 over the next several years to pay for about $4.5 billion of regional transit improvements. And every voter in all nine counties voted on that one. So looking like it will pass. And I also wanted to mention Measure C, that's Napa County's Measure C. It was a ballot measure that really sharply divided the wine industry, and it would restrict, if it passes, it would restrict Napa vineyard growth to protect oak trees and streams in the watershed. And as of this afternoon, it's still very neck and neck, and people in Napa don't think the results will be in until the end of the week. So that's another one to keep an eye out
for. There's a lot of tension up there right now.
Right.
Okay, we'll be following. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.